You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Teodi Anderson. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, it is spring outside. It is so gorgeous. Oh my gosh, did you think it would ever come this year? I really had my doubts for a while, but it is absolutely beautiful here outside. I'm in South Carolina, and it's getting that way across the country. And when the time of year turns to this, kids start getting out of school, people start getting antsy, wanting to shake off those winter blues, people turn to thinking about vacation. And if you want to bring Fido with you, this is going to be the perfect show for you. We're going to be talking about traveling with your dog, some training tips and some safety tips to help you and your dog get there and back again safely. We'll be back after these messages.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Get Positive Results. I'm Teodi Anderson, and today we are all about hitting the road or the airline with our dogs, traveling with dogs. I was traveling recently. I was away for the weekend. I took a nice long weekend and went to the beach. And, of course, I'm walking along the beach with my boyfriend, and we noticed the dogs. Of course, we noticed the dogs. And the most thing to notice was that some dogs were delighted to be on the beach. They were having a wonderful time. And some dogs were just miserable. Their people were happy, but the dogs, not so much. The dogs were not having a good time. When you think about bringing your dog to the beach, it's hot. It was about 90 degrees at this beach. We were in South Carolina, and there was a nice breeze, but it's still pretty hot out there, and not everybody had enough water for their dogs. Some of the dogs were drinking ocean water. That's a good way to get sick in the car on the way home. That is asking for tummy upset is what that's asking for. So you want to make sure if you're going to bring your dog to the beach that you have plenty of fresh water for your dog and a bowl for the dog to drink out of. And it just was really hot. There was one standard poodle, beautiful dog, in a very short cut, and he was pressed up, laying in the sand, up against the back of a beach chair because that was the only shade available to him. They didn't have an umbrella. So this poor dog was smart. Poodles are smart. And he was finding the only shade available for his size. He was a standard poodle. He was really large. And he was just really hot. Also, think about the sand. At one point, I started to get a little blister where my flip-flops were rubbing. So I took my shoes off, and that was fine when I put my feet in the ocean. When I started to walk back up on the hot sand, it started to burn. And it can burn your dog's feet, too. So if your dog starts dancing, whether it's on asphalt or hot sand, it's probably because their feet are burning up. So we have to take care of their paws as well. One of the biggest things I noticed was that a lot of people were actually following the rules. This was a particular beach where dogs had to be on leash, and that was great. And many people had their dogs on leashes. They were cleaning up after their pets. They were paying attention to their pets and making sure that they were safe and happy. But there were a few who had those dogs just running amok all over the place. And it's stuff like that that just makes it bad for everybody because those are the ones that get in trouble. And then legislators start getting involved and people start complaining and then they close down the beach for everyone. So want to make sure that you always follow the rules for specific beaches. But these folks did not have leashes. Some of them were, you know, getting in other people's faces and just being overly friendly. But there was one situation where that same poodle was off leash and a little shih tzu came up to see it. And my boyfriend is also a professional dog trainer, and so am I. And we immediately start getting on alert, getting ready to intervene if necessary. But luckily, the dogs were okay. They greeted each other appropriately. They said hello. And their people were yards and yards away from them. Had there been an altercation, there wouldn't have been anything those folks could have done because they were so far away from their own dogs. They had very little control over those dogs. They were calling their dogs to come. Their dogs were ignoring them. They weren't well trained in that environment. So we want to make sure that we're always putting these dogs on leash. There was one woman who was awesome. She had a yellow lab who was happily chasing a tennis ball over and over and over again, as Labradors do love to do sometimes. And she had him on a long line. She wanted to be able to throw the ball far. She wanted him to be able to run. But she had him on a really, really long leash. And it was perfect because she still had some semblance of control over him. There are ways to have fun with our dogs and do it safely. And that's what, of course, I encourage you to do at all times. So let's talk about different places and different modes of travel for your dog and how you can make it as seamless an experience and calm an experience for your blood pressure and your dogs as well. I think the very first thing you should think about, not every dog was happy to be on that beach. There were a lot of dark dogs, and dark dogs are going to absorb that sun faster than a light-colored dog. So some dogs just were miserable on that beach. And it was sad to see because the people wanted to share their vacation with the dog. I understand that. I love taking my dogs with me as well. I left them at home this time, but I love traveling with dogs. And you want to make sure that the dog is going to have just as good a time as you are. And if they're not, you really should consider leaving them at home. Part of that consideration is if your dog is really shy or really fearful, if your dog is reactive and lunges and barks at other people or other dogs, it's not the best place for that dog. And it's not a matter of people just complaining about dogs that act inappropriately in those situations. You're putting your dog under stress. So you want to make sure, is this dog really going to have a good time? You know, what do I want to do on this vacation? Where am I going? What are the conditions going to be like? And is my dog going to have a good time? If it's not, leave the dog at home. And there are things that you can do to work on the dog's issues so that you can have a great time on a trip in the future. If your dog is shy, you can work on proper socialization. If your dog is reactive, you can work on proper behavior when encountering the things that it reacts to, whether people, dogs, squirrels. Dogs that chase squirrels obsessively, probably not good for hiking situations either, unless you get a really strong harness on that dog and leash, by the way. But you really want to make sure if your dog is overly shy that you're not pushing that dog into situations that are going to make it worse. People get the feeling that if their dog is a little shy around people, if they take it to very crowded places, the dog will get better. And that is not the case. The dog could get worse and worse and then feel a need to bite or act aggressively. Most aggression is based in fear. Another situation that I remember is I was going to a flea market once and I had my dog. I had little Finian, the Papillon, with me. And dogs were allowed at the flea market. He was on a leash. And when it got to be really crowded, there were areas of the flea market, the way the tables were set up, that sometimes I had to pick him up because he's a little guy and I didn't want him to get stepped on. So I would safely pick him up and tuck him under my arm, and he likes being toted around anyway. So it worked really well. There was a very large terrier that was there that was firing off at every single dog it saw. And I was doing a lot of body blocking. I was making sure that my dog didn't get anywhere near him. And the guy was struggling to hold on to his dog. It was a very large dog, probably about 50 to 60 pounds. That dog was not happy to be at the flea market. He liked other people, but every time he saw another dog, he would get that adrenaline rush and cortisol rush, and he would be acting aggressively. Nobody wanted to be near this guy because his dog was acting so aggressively. Should have taken the dog home. The dog was not safe, and it's very lucky that, at least when I was there, there wasn't a dog bite. So always put the dog first. We try to emphasize that as much as possible. The next thing to consider is to plan. If you plan everything to the best of your ability, that is going to save you so much stress and your dog as well. So think about what supplies you're going to need. It's so funny because I travel with people who have dogs. We go to different conferences together, different things, and we'll bring in our little suitcase and then bring in our dog's three suitcases. The pets always have more luggage. I don't know what that's about. We'll forget our toothbrush, but we won't forget anything for the dogs. So have a list of supplies. I use an app on my phone. I like Evernote, but there's lots of other apps out there. You can make a little checklist, and I have it already in my phone ready to go for when I have to board my dogs or when I have to take my dog somewhere, so I know exactly what I need to bring, because if I don't write it down somewhere, I will forget. But think about where you're going to visit, what kind of pest control you need. Are you going to a tick-infested area? Are you going to a flea-infested area? Do we need to treat your dog before you go? bring water, especially as it's getting hotter out there, a bowl. I've known people to bring water, forget the bowl. You can use your hand, but bowls are easier. They have nice collapsible ones now, too. You can bring food for your dog, treats and a clicker. You want to make it training? You can bring your clicker and train your dog in these different locations. Do you need toys? Do you need a crate? Travel crates are wonderful. They're one of my favorite inventions. I used to have to tote the big, heavy metal crates for my large dogs all the time, and now they have these really lightweight canvas travel crates. Do not get one if you have a puppy that is still in the chewing stage. They will chew right through that thing, and they're expensive. So make sure that the travel crate is for a chew-proof dog. I also like to tote in the car extra towels and baby wipes in case we have to do a pit stop in a rest area that is not the cleanest. Does your dog need medication? Be sure to pack the meds. An extra leash. Does he want his bed? If he doesn't travel in a crate, bed can be fine. If you're going to be in a hotel, think about bringing a sheet from home to lay on top of the hotel bed. Maids appreciate that. Hotel staff appreciate that. If you're going to be camping, how about a tie-out? Do you need something to restrain your dog? Is he going to be in the tent with you? Is he going to have his own tent? They make pup tents. How is that situation going to be done? Bring your veterinarian's phone number and get veterinarian phone numbers of the area you'll be visiting. You don't want to have an emergency and then be fumbling or not have phone service or good searching service where you need a vet right away. So make sure you plan where you're going to go, have that information with you. Pack a first aid kit for pets. It involves some different things sometimes than humans. Paper towels, just because you always need paper towels. And don't forget the ID tag. Your dog should never travel outside the house without an ID tag. If you hate the tags that jingle, they make little things that you can group them together, little plastic things so that the jingling doesn't bother you. You can also get the collars that are engraved with your phone number. And if you do not have a cell phone, you can also get temporary tags made of the phone number where you're going to be so you can always reconnect with your pet. Also consider microchipping if you haven't done that with your dog yet either. Microchipping can be a great way to reunite you with your dog should you, heaven forbid, get separated. I'm going to come up with more tips right after this break. So hold on. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Get Positive Results. I'm T.O.D. Anderson, your host, and today we are talking about traveling with our dogs. We've been talking about planning, all the stuff you have to bring to make sure your dog has a successful visit. Another thing that these supplies are going to do for your dog is to give your dog a sense of security and make them feel more like home. If they have their favorite toy and their bed and their crate, it smells like them, it smells like home, it's going to be less stressful for your dog as well. So in addition to all the supplies you need to bring, let's talk about where are you going to go and what you'll need for that situation. For example, are you going to be going somewhere overnight? If it's a day trip, that's one thing. But if you have to spend the night somewhere, you're going to have to check the policies of wherever you're staying. Some places won't allow pets at all. Some will allow pets. But when you dig down deeper into the tiny little information on the website, you see it's only pets 20 pounds and under. So make sure the weight of your pet is going to fit within those qualifications because you don't want to get kicked out of the hotel room and not have a place to stay. Also think about some hotels allow pets, but they won't allow you to keep a pet in the hotel room unsupervised. So if you decide to go out to dinner or go shopping, where is your dog going to be able to stay if you're not allowed to leave it in the hotel room by itself? If you can put your dog in the car, is it the season or the area of the country or place where you're going to be outside the country where the dog can be in the car safely? Is it too hot? So think about all those little policies. Dig down to those little tiny words at the bottom of the exclusion section and make sure that you're actually staying in a place that is as dog friendly as it proclaimed to be on the homepage. Some of them can kind of trip you up there. So you definitely want a place to stay that's going to be friendly to your dog. Some places will roll out the red carpet for you. They're wonderful. And it's good to find those places and talk them up to your friends so they get good business so that they stay in business and we can keep coming back to them. If you're traveling by car with your dog, there's a couple extra things to consider. Many years ago, my parents lived in Maryland while I lived in South Carolina, and I used to visit them a couple times a year with my dogs. I had three dogs at the time. And I remember distinctly one trip. It was getting near dusk, and I wanted the boys to have a potty break. So I pulled over to a rest area, and I just went about what I normally did whenever we had a potty break. I got out of the car. I immediately grabbed my dog ramp. I had a three-legged dog at the time, and he needed a ramp to get in and out of the car. It was a minivan because he had arthritis. So I set up the ramp right at the edge of his kennel, and I took the puppy out first, the younger dog, and potted him, put him back, gave him some water, put him back in the crate, went and took the three-legged dog out, Labrador. He potted, put him back in, and got the Papillon, took him out. And at that time, you know how sometimes the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you just get that feeling that you're being watched? Well, I turned around and I had an audience. There were about six or seven people just staring at me. And it was a little unsettling. And I was used to getting stared at once in a while because I had a three-legged dog. And so people commented on that. So I thought that's what it was. And I kind of stammered, hello. And that wasn't what it was. They said, how do you get your dogs to do that? And I said, what do you mean? And they said, how do you get them to go to the bathroom when you tell them to? It was the funniest thing. I said, I trained them. They're house trained. I trained them to go on cue. And they said, that's amazing. And they all start talking amongst themselves. And it was really kind of very flattering that my dogs were so well behaved. But you can absolutely train your dog to eliminate on cue. And if you're ever going to travel with your dog, it is probably one of the most useful things you can do. Because you don't necessarily have 45 minutes to find a perfect spot to go, especially if you're trying to meet people or you want to get on the road or it's getting late. And these types of things can delay you and make you cranky while you're on a road trip. So definitely train your dogs to eliminate on cue, because I could get in and out of the car with my three dogs and a potty break for me too in less than 10 minutes. And we were back on the road again, making great time. They were wonderful, wonderful. I travel a lot with my dogs in the car. So they're really good travel dogs. They learn to be really good travel dogs. So that's a little tip for riding in the car. Another trip for car rides is safety. Dogs need to always be confined in your car. Whether you want to put them in a crate and bungee that crate down, or whether you want to get a dog safety harness and hook them, it really is important. It's not safe to have them riding in your lap. It's certainly not safe to have them sticking their heads out the window. I know that they love it. Dogs love to do that. But did you know that dogs that stick their heads out the window are very prone to eye lacerations? They have debris coming through the air and they're going at very quick speeds, and they can easily get a cut in the eye from just a piece of sand or something flying through. So please keep them in the car, keep them confined. Unfortunately, there's lots of stories you see on the news about police that pull people over and the dog gets loose and then the dog gets injured, or heaven forbid, you are in a car accident and the dog get thrown from the car. So please confine them in the car. Teach them to enjoy that confinement, and it is going to be a much better ride for all of you. Another thing I like to do when I travel by minivan is to prepare just in case there is some sort of emergency. I have a large index card, oversized index card, maybe about 5x7. And on it, I print, traveling with dogs, in case of emergency, please see glove compartment, or info in glove compartment. And I tape that on the two sides of the car inside so people can see it from the outside. And in the glove compartment, I have an index card on each of the dogs I'm traveling with. It has their picture. It has their name. It has their age. It has any kind of medications that they need, what they eat, some little tips about them, like, you know, scared of children or doesn't like to be picked up, any kind of little quirks that the dogs may have. And on that individual index card on each of them, I have, in case of emergency, please board at nearest quality veterinarian. All expenses will be paid. I don't want my dogs ending up in a shelter and getting confused with something else. I want someone to please take care of my dogs and send them to the vet. I have also arranged in advance for family and friends to find my dogs wherever they are in case I'm incapacitated in a hospital somewhere, and they will take care of the dogs and pay the expenses. And of course, I'll reimburse them later. I am very lucky. I have wonderful friends. I have no doubt they would get in the car and come find me in some city that I've had this accident, but I'm more worried about the dogs. So I want them to please go to that vet and take care of my pets, bring them home, because I don't know anyone necessarily in that area. And you never know when these things are going to happen. We don't like to think about it. But if you're prepared, it can save you a lot of stress. If you were ever knocked unconscious in an accident, you may not be able to tell anybody you had a pet in the car in the first place. And in the rush of medical personnel and emergency personnel, you don't want those dogs to be accidentally misplaced. I don't think that happens on purpose, but their priority is going to be you, not your dog. So I always travel with that information, and I update it every year as I travel with their ages and current medications. You know, as they get older, they need more meds. And I make sure that I travel with that at all times. And that makes me feel better. Knock on wood, haven't had to use it yet, but I do encourage you to do the same. You can also purchase services that do that. Sometimes there's those little ID tags that it's a USB drive, a little thumb drive, and they can plug it in. I just prefer to have it written out so that somebody doesn't need technology in order to be able to read it in an emergency situation. So please travel safely and make sure that you have identifying information on your pets. And again, think about microchipping them just in case you get separated. There are stories, again, there was a competitor for, I believe she was agility, and she was in a very bad car accident, and her dogs got loose, and the agility community really rallied on social media, and they found most of the dogs, I believe. She traveled with quite a few. So you want to make it as easy as possible for people to take care of your dogs for you, just in case you're not able to. Another thing about traveling with your dog is if you do travel in areas that are really hot and steamy, you might want to consider keeping two keys to the car, because sooner or later you will need that potty break too, and you're not supposed to bring the dogs in with you, especially if you're traveling with more than one. So you lock your car running with the air conditioning blasting as you run in to do what you need to do and then come back out and you can unlock your car. I don't like to leave my car unlocked, especially in areas that I don't know, but if you have a spare key, you can do that. I had a friend who used to keep a spare key on the actual vehicle. It was in one of those magnetized boxes, and it was underneath. And so she would leave the car running with the air conditioning, and then she had that spare key right underneath her van when she did it. When you travel to, think about the location you're going to and realize that dogs may not be allowed everywhere. For example, the beach that I was at only allowed pets, I think, during certain times, dogs during certain times. Some will only allow them on a boardwalk or on hiking trails, but not out in the woods. So make sure that you research that ahead of time so that you don't get disappointed when you get there, only to find out that your dog's not going to be able to enjoy the experience with you after all. I'm going to take a few questions from my Facebook page. Suzanne Adams writes, "What is the best way to reduce stress for your dog while traveling?" This is such a wonderful question. I love this question. There's a couple things that you can do. Remember that travel is stressful. You're excited, but it's still stressful because you have to plan. And if you work, you had to work twice as hard to get ready to leave. And you know you're going to have to work twice as hard when you get back to just catch up with everything. So you're stressed. Your dog is also stressed because they feed off of that from you as well. So there are a couple things that you can do to help reduce the stress for your dog. One of that is that planning we talked about. If you do your planning and you bring the things that they love and you've really researched it so that things go smoothly, you're going to be much calmer. The dog's going to be much calmer. Also, you want to try to keep to the routine as much as you possibly can. If you're traveling in a different time zone, that's going to mess them up. Heaven knows that daylight savings time, for those of you who do daylight savings time, that messes dogs up all the time. They think breakfast is either too early or too late, depending on the time of year. But if you can keep to their routine, that is very comforting to dogs. Dogs are creatures of routine. They don't like it when routines get upset. So keep to the routine as much as possible. If you're on the road, try to feed them breakfast during breakfast time. Try to feed them dinner during dinner time. Try to keep up that routine. Have their familiar things or favorite toys or favorite beds, and train your dog. Train your dog. The more confidence your dog has in training and the more you work together as a team, the less stressed that dog is going to be. I think that there are a couple critical exercises your dog needs to be able to perform in order to travel well. One is a rock solid recall, coming when called. You want your dog to definitely come the second you call him. Another one is just a good settle, whether it's a sit or a down on a mat or a bed, a nice settle where your dog can settle while you're unpacking the car or when you're getting the hotel room set up. I think those are very convenient. My other favorite is leave it. Leave it alone. Your dog's going to see things that maybe he doesn't normally see at home and want to explore things and items that maybe he shouldn't when he's out in public. Think about all the stuff people leave on those beaches, which is really sad because our beaches are very special. Or dump in the woods. Dog's going to want to pick that up. So a good solid leave it is going to really, really save you an emergency trip to the vet in a strange town. So I really recommend, again, a rock solid recall, a good settle, and a really good leave it before you travel with a lot with your dog. There are other things that come in handy too, but those are just my top favorites. I've got a question now on my Facebook page from Brittany Collins Imhoff, and she writes, what are the steps for traveling with your dog to Europe? Wow, this is a great question. And I don't think I could probably cover it all in one podcast. It is a lot of information. So I think I want to talk about flying dogs in general, because we don't always go by car. Sometimes we want to fly them. There are a couple different ways to fly your dog, and some I'm a bigger fan of than others. That's a personal opinion. In general, you can fly your dog about three ways. One, it can come in the cabin with you. This is generally for small dogs that can fit in an approved kennel in the cabin with me. You have to pay, and there are lots of regulations around it still, but there are opportunities on some airlines for dogs to travel, or other pets, small pets, in the cabin. They can also travel as checked baggage. And this is supposed to be temperature controlled and pressurized cabin. And again, lots of regulations. Or they can travel cargo. And sometimes the difference between the two is the size. If you have an English Mastiff, the airline may say, he's cargo. Each airline is different. So the biggest thing when you're thinking about flying is to plan, ask lots of questions, talk to the specific airlines that you will be flying, write everything down, including the names of people you work with. So if Mary Smith is the one that told you it would be okay to do XYZ, have Mary Smith's name written down, because you want to be able to go to the airport and say, I talked to Mary Smith. So don't forget to write the people's names down. Some airlines don't fly pets at all. Some have specific rules over what types of pets they will fly or the time of year they will fly them. For example, Delta Airlines will not fly snub-nosed dogs and cats anymore. I believe that is the new regulation, and that's because they have breathing difficulties, and so they don't want to take a chance that those dogs would go into a breathing crisis while they're en route to a location. So if you've got a little pug or a little Boston Terrier, you may not be able to fly your dog's situations on Delta Airlines or other airlines as well. This is not just unique to them. So you need to make sure that your breed or your type of dog will also qualify. In general, it needs to be done by a licensed veterinarian 10 days before you travel. That's going to depend on the airline as well. You also are going to need an approved kennel. Not every cute little bag that you buy is going to be safe or allowed even to bring them on the plane. It has to be an approved kennel, and they all have regulations about that. So make sure that you follow those specific directions. And in general, there's so much research that has to be done. I've had friends who've traveled to Europe and to different places with their dogs, and it's a lot of minutiae, and it's a lot of double-checking. For example, I had a friend who traveled once and had to switch airlines in order to get to her ultimate location. Well, one airline had one set of rules, and the other airline had a different set of rules. Now, my friend is very detailed, so she was very good about keeping up with all this. But for heaven's sake, I think she ended up with spreadsheets just to keep it all straight by the time the trip was over. There is something I do want to address, that some people will fake a service dog in order to get their dog in the cabin. And I cannot tell you how much that I am not a fan of that. I have friends with disabilities who have service dogs, and They have been challenged in places by management of stores or restaurants and told that they had to remove their dogs, which is against the law. And they've had to fight for the right to be protected by a law that is on the books for them. And whenever someone fakes a service dog by purchasing a service dog vest on a dog that is not a service dog and tries to get it on a plane or in a store where it doesn't belong, that really is a slap in the face to the people with disabilities who fight this every day. So please don't do that. I know none of my listeners would do that. You are way above that. But if you have friends talking about it, please talk some sense into them, because we don't want to do that. It's really unfair. And it is true that they cannot ask you, you know, why you have a disability in order to have a service dog, but they can if your dog is unruly or aggressive or causing problems. They can still ask you to leave, even if it is a service dog. So you're not necessarily safe just because you slap a fake service dog vest on your dog and put it on the plane. There is a situation, there's a big difference between therapy dogs and service dogs, but there is a situation where some therapy dogs can go onto a plane. Most therapy dogs do not have the same rights as service dogs. They do not have protection under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So I have a service dog. Finian is a service dog. And so whether or not he was small enough to fit under the seat, technically he would not be allowed on most airlines because he is a therapy dog. He doesn't help me perform tasks of independence or anything. He's not a service dog. However, dogs that are advanced therapy dogs that qualify for crisis response sometimes on some airlines are allowed in the cabin. And these are dogs that have advanced training and have gone through advanced testing to go to places like areas that have had hurricanes or tornadoes, or after 9/11, the service animals were there comforting people who were there. So some of those dogs do have the rights in the cabin. But again, it's all dependent on the airline. So Brittany, I'm sorry I didn't answer your question specifically. Traveling to Europe, it really depends on where you want to go. You have to understand the different rules of the different countries that are there as well. For example, some countries require microchips. Some will not accept titers for rabies vaccine and other vaccines. They have to have the proof of the vaccines. Some of them have quarantines. So you want to make really sure you understand the quarantine. It used to be that some countries had really long quarantines, like months and months long, where your dog had to be kept in this kennel. And that's not always healthy emotionally for your dog if your dog's not used to that either. So really research everything. Preferably talk to people who have been in that situation and get tips from them, in addition to people who are on the actual administrative side of things. Write everything down, keep good track of it, and just be cautious. I will tell you that personally, I don't think I could fly my dog cargo. Sawyer is my Belgian Tervuren, and he weighs about 45 or 50 pounds, so he wouldn't fit under the seat. He probably thinks he could. He thinks he's a lap dog, but he would definitely not fit under an airline seat. I don't care how much he reclined and tried to squeeze him under there. So I just couldn't do it. I have friends and breeder friends who have shipped puppies to different countries, and I will tell you, it just terrifies me. I can't imagine looking at that little puppy face and going, have a good flight to Germany. I couldn't do it. So some of that is just me. I admit that. And I know that many dogs travel safely all the time, especially show dogs. They travel like that all the time. But you do have to be cautious. You have to do your research, because there are also horror stories about dogs that get loose in airports and have layovers that end up being incredibly long because of plane delays and you can't get to your dog. So make sure you do all that research ahead of time, because it's just going to be a stressful trip for everybody if not. So these are some of the tips for traveling. I hope that if you are going to be traveling with your pet, no matter what season, that you have a wonderful time and that you are able to plan ahead and make sure your dog has the proper training and temperament to go where you are, because I know that your dog would much rather be with you. If you feel that it's either going to be too stressful for the dog or too stressful for you, consider leaving the dog at home with a reliable friend, preferably a professional pet sitter. We could talk about that at a future show. And the dog is probably going to be just fine. We always feel guilty when we have to leave them behind. But if you leave them with the right people, they have a vacation too. So this is it. This has been a wonderful time with you today. I really appreciate you tuning in. This is Teoti Anderson with Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio. If you'd like to email me, I'd love to hear your travel tips and your travel adventures or anything else you'd want to find out about dog training, you can reach me at teoti@petliferadio.com. That's T-E-O-T-I at petliferadio.com. You can also find me on the web at getpositiveresults.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/positiveresults. Until next time, I wish you and your dog safe travels.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.